Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. So truth be told, I'm actually a little scared of today's topic. For some reason, this just does not feel like an easy gardener crop that I'm going to nail. But last week we talked about beans, which you can put in the ground now, but they require a sunny spot. So after the episode, I said to Elise, I need a crop that I can put in now, but for a less sunny spot. And here we are, talking about carrots. So Elise, what do you reckon? Beginner, intermediate, or kind of a hard crop to master?
I'm going to put it somewhere between beginner and intermediate. Intermediate's probably giving it too much credit, but I wouldn't say it's the same as the rocket, the radishes, the other things that, you know, we describe as black thumb territory. So, you know, a little step up from the basics. But compared to other things that you've attempted in the past, Tess, like Brussels sprouts, I'm going to say carrots is very easy. So, you know, hopefully after today's conversation, you'll feel inspired to actually get some in the ground. And as you said, like there aren't that many things that we can plant in, you know, early to midsummer, but the carrots is one of them. Now, fun fact about carrots, and you know this is one of the reasons why I love growing stuff, is the amazing number of varieties out there. White carrots, yellow carrots, purple carrots, orange carrots, long, short, round, all manner of things, good for fresh eating, good for roasting. There's just so much more to the carrot than the one variety that we see in the supermarket. The fun fact is that carrots originally were all purple. There were no orange carrots in existence. In the 16th century, the Dutch farmers took mutant strains of the purple carrot and gradually developed them into the sweet, plump, orange carrots that we know and love.
That is a very entertaining and fun fact there.
There's my trivia for today.
Love
so
it.
So when we're growing purple carrots, that is us actually going way back to the 16th century and growing the old original carrots. They are, I don't think, as good for fresh eating, but they are absolutely delicious roasted.
That's so fun. I really love that. I'm going to look at orange carrots in a whole new light.
Yeah. Have you eaten purple carrots before? They are very trendy.
I think maybe. Do they have perhaps like a slightly more earthy taste to them?
Yeah, I think that's why I like them roasted.
Mm.
Makes sense. You know, back at their roots. Excuse the pun.
Apart from the colour, like what are your other picks for varieties for people to try out first?
There's actually one called a Paris Market carrot, and it's actually a round carrot. It looks like quite a big radish, and I think that's a really easy one to grow. And being a round carrot, it actually makes it easier to grow, and we'll get into that when we kind of get into the nitty-gritty. And it tastes really sweet and juicy. It's orange, which is, you know, less fun, might be more fun if it's
mutant strain.
But yeah, Paris Market would be one that I would highly recommend people try.
So you've got me really excited about all the different varieties. Let's get stuck into it. How are we growing our carrots?
Well, maybe first we need to talk about when we're growing our carrots, because we've done a bit of a sneaky in this episode. And for us in the south of Australia or in colder climates, spring and summer are the best time to plant your carrots. But if you're in a really warm area, and this is tropical and subtropical, you actually shouldn't plant your carrots in summer. So if you're in either of those regions and you're listening to this, hold your horses and plant your carrots in autumn. Or winter or spring, just not summer. So it's only us with the milder summers that can kind of plant them now. But conversely, like as much as I've said, some of our listeners shouldn't plant them now. For us in the colder regions, summer is a really great time to plant them. So it's not just we're trying to sneak them in summer because you've got some space in your garden. It is actually that summer's a good time for carrots, for us.
Can you plant them all throughout the summer, or is there really a period of time that you should get them in before?
Nah, you can whack them in the whole of summer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But they take a really long time to grow. So if you're planting them in summer, you actually probably won't be eating them till winter, which is a bit of a downside of the old carrot. But having said that, you know, there's not a lot being consumed in the garden in winter. So the fact that there's a crop that will be harvested then, you know, we've probably got enough going on to harvest in summer. So I suppose maybe it's a disadvantage in some ways, but then an advantage in others.
Delayed gratification.
Exactly.
Okie dokie. So we know when we're going to be growing. Are we ready to talk about how we're going to be growing?
Well, I suppose the next question is, what are we going to be growing? The old seed or seedling debate. This one, everyone will be happy to know, is a seed preferable. Very easy to grow from seed, best grown from seed. Obviously, that's the cheapest way and got the best varieties. So I probably wouldn't tell anyone to grow it for, like, to purchase a seedling or to container grow your carrot seedlings. I think direct sown with a seed is going to be best for the carrot and easiest, cheapest for you. That's probably going to overwhelm some people because the direct sowing and the seeds are kind of the hardest combo, or not, maybe not hardest, but maybe more fraught with danger combo. But for carrots and for most root vegetables, honestly, it is the best way to go, because with a root vegetable, they've got this thing called a taproot. And when you transplant things with a taproot, it can create a lot of problems. So it's best just to get them straight in where you want them.
Is the taproot the thing that, like, I'm thinking of like a radish with the little thin little strand that comes out the bottom. Is that the taproot? Yeah. Gotcha.
That is the taproot. And you'll see, like, a carrot sometimes, you know, it still has its taproot attached when you buy it. It's that same kind of thing, like one thick root that goes down. Mm. Yeah, the old taproot.
So we're direct sowing. How far apart should we be spacing our carrots? Is it all the same for all the varieties, or different variety, different spacing?
Oh, good question. I would say most or all of them would fit between 2 and 5 centimetres. Perhaps some varieties might be more towards the 5 or more towards the 2. It'll be on the packet, but, you know, from that you can see, like, pretty close. Like, we're putting a lot of carrots in a small space because, as you know, by the shape of a carrot, like, it's going to grow hard and fast downwards and not outwards. So very close together. And that's another reason why it's actually quite easy to grow from seed, because you don't have to worry about the spacing. You can just sprinkle those seeds in and kind of deal with the spacing later in the thinning out. So that's when you, for anyone that doesn't know the thinning out term, we can just go hard and fast with our seeds. We see what comes up. We see what germinates, what shooty uppies we've got. And then we can say, okay, these two are way too close together. We're going to just pull a few out to kind of make room for each carrot to blossom into its full carrot size. So it's better to just overdo it with the seeds and then thin out, rather than meticulously space a carrot seed every 5 centimetres and then a few of them won't germinate, because that always happens. And then you've kind of got patchiness in your carrot patch. So go hard, thin out later.
And would you recommend spreading your seeds all in a line, or just like a general mishmash sprinkle around?
I feel like every expert's going to say in a line, and then, but reality is I just do the old mishmash. Like, it's okay. Just, it's a square
whatever
box and I just chuck all the carrots in. So honestly, I don't know what's better, but I think as long as they've got their space on each kind of, you know, a radius around each seed that's got space to form a carrot. Like, I can't imagine why the old mismatch would be any different or more problematic to the neat rows.
So at the top of the episode, I mentioned how I brought this topic up by looking for something that we're planting in a less sunny spot. So can we talk about where we're going to be planting it and how much sun do we actually need?
Well, I'm going to break your heart a little bit and say, look, the more sun, the better. So I'm not going to say... I'm not going to say carrots are your shady crop like lettuces, but they can handle a little bit of shade if that's the best we've got. So I would say, like, oh, I don't want to put a time on it, but they don't need as much as your tomatoes, but they need more than your rocket or your lettuces.
If I've grown in this bed, if I've grown radishes, is that a pretty good gauge that my carrots would be all right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I would say it is. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, think about what's worked in that spot before, because again, being a root crop, that makes total sense that it would need pretty similar sun requirements. So yeah, if this is where you grew your radishes, I think bang on for your carrots. The other thing about where we're going to plant our carrots is we really, really need the soil to be super loose and friable. So like we talked about with radishes, like we talked about with garlic, if we want a decent root crop and the root is what we're cultivating, we have to give it that loose, friable soil for it to form. So the fact that you grew your radishes there and you had some really beautifully sized and beautifully formed radishes to me says that soil is a good quality for the old carrot. I would still encourage everyone to add a decent whack of compost before planting your carrots, but you know, as long as it's that loose and friable, it'll be a good spot for them.
How far down should we be kind of digging around to make sure our soil is loose and friable? Because you think about some carrots, they can be quite long. Like, should you be digging, like, you know, 20, 30 centimetres of loose, friable soil?
Yeah, you make a good point. And this kind of comes back to what I was talking about with the round carrots, with the Paris Market carrots, for example. And there are other round ones. That's just one variety that I've grown before. Is if you're not certain that you're right, you've got, you know, 50 centimetres down of this loose, friable soil, one of the ways to get around that is just to grow these round carrots because they don't need as deep a loose and friable soil. So, because you're right, if you've got some massive carrot, like it does need to be loose and friable all the way down. And, you know, often our garden beds aren't. So the round carrots are a good option. The other reason why the round carrots deal with this depth issue is carrots are actually really easy to grow in pots and containers. So again, regardless of garden size or setup, carrots are one that you can easily incorporate. But here's the thing, the pot or the container has to be deep enough, because it's got to be deep enough to get a long carrot in the soil plus the taproot. So that's quite a deep container. But with the round carrots, we don't need it to be anywhere near as deep, because that carrot isn't going to be accessing as further down as what a big, long, straight carrot would.
Okay, fabulous.
But in your garden beds, Tess, because your raised garden beds are quite high up, like if you had a raised garden bed that was maybe only 15 centimetres, I would be worried. But yours are quite high and you have done a lot of work on your soil. So I'm not feeling worried about your ability to grow any shape of carrot that you so desire.
Okay, so we've got what we are going to be planting, which will be a seed. We've got where we're going to be planting it. Is there anything else that you need to say before we move on to kind of care?
No, I think it's as simple as that. And, you know, like you say, most episodes, if you need help with actually planting the seed in the garden bed, we've done a whole episode on that, which is called quite appropriately, How to Plant a Seed. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. And that will tell you exactly how to actually get these carrot seeds happily in the garden bed. But no, other than that, I think we're good for maintenance discussion.
And we also just you reminded me all of the things that we were just talking about in terms of germination and stuff like that. We talk about all of that in our How to Plant a Seed episode. So if we were losing you on any of that chat, go back to that episode.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get stuck into care.
First off, and I've already mentioned it, is the thinning out of the seeds once they've germinated. So if you leave all the seeds in that you've planted and you've got two really close together, what can happen is you kind of get two stunted carrots and no good carrots, or they can actually like twist around each other and do all weird things because, you know, as we've discussed, like it's just the root of the plant and roots will move and twist and turn and do what they need to do to access the resources they need to access. So by spreading them out, by thinning them out, we're going to get a better carrot harvest, even though it will break your heart, and it breaks my heart every time, to like pull out happy, viable, germinated seeds. Like it literally kills me, but it is for the good of, you know, the rest of the carrots in the patch. So thin them out. And actually, a question that you asked me, Tess, which we'd never not on the air, but I feel like we actually should mention it, is when you thin out, you've got to be careful that you don't pull the plant out with the root and all. Because what you can actually do, especially if they're super close together, is you can disturb the roots next door. So what you're better off doing is taking your scissors or your secateurs or a knife or whatever and just chopping the heads off the ones that you want to remove or thin out and just leave the root part in the ground. And the plant won't continue anymore and the root will end up just composting. But we don't want to disturb the roots we're trying to keep in position.
What would you say would be the optimal size of the seedling when you start this thinning out process?
Interesting. You don't want to do it too early because you can still lose seedlings. So you don't want to go ham the second they all come out and then you lose a few, as you know, you always do in the garden, and then you don't have enough. But obviously you don't want to let it get too far. Maybe you would want them to be like 8 centimeters tall, the shooty uppies. So that's, you know, relatively advanced. Yeah. Now, the next thing you have to do is mulch. It's really important to mulch carrots. You know, sometimes you see carrots with green tops on them, like the top of the actual carrot part's kind of got that green tinge. I'm pretty sure that's when they've like stuck out of the soil, in the same way a potato will get a green tinge if you don't mulch it properly and, you know, the kind of the top of it's exposed to sunlight. So really important to mulch, but it's a pain in the ass. Oh, maybe this is why people grow them in rows. I don't know. Now I think about it, they're a real prick to mulch. Maybe that's the answer. I'm glad that I'm learning a lot doing this podcast too. So you want to mulch them, but you want to wait until they're big enough, because regardless of whether you've grown them in rows or scattergun as I do, at the end of the day, mulching them is going to be difficult if they're tiny. So, and you don't need to mulch them when they're tiny, right? So wait till they've got some height to them. I mean, you could even wait until they're like 15 centimeters tall and then try and mulch around them. Don't try, I mean do it. But just like 2 centimeters of mulch. Like, it's not like potatoes. We don't need, with potatoes, the potatoes are actually growing up into the mulch. The carrots aren't. This is just to like keep them undercover, dark, and also importantly to keep the moisture consistent, which is particularly important for carrots. Have you ever seen a carrot that's split? Like they've just got like a split down the middle.
And not the whole way through. It just kind of like cuts in like a divot.
Yeah, exactly. That is usually because there's been inconsistent watering. So you might be watering heaps, but you're doing it like the soil isn't staying a consistent moisture level. That leads to the carrot splitting. So the mulch helps to control that moisture level in the soil and even it out, especially during summer, because obviously that's kind of the hardest time to keep the soil evenly moist. So we're mulching for multiple reasons here. Sometimes you can get away without the mulch, but carrots isn't one of them.
Is there anything wrong with eating a carrot that's split?
No. Not at all.
Oh, so it's just an aesthetic.
Well, it's an aesthetic thing, but I will also say that often if it has split, that says it's gone through some kind of stress in the garden, which if we're looking for a tender, juicy carrot, we might find a split one is slightly woodier, which I don't mind when you're roasting them, but when they're raw, I don't like a woody carrot.
So take your lessons from any split carrots that you get, but don't throw them out. They're still good to eat.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Tess. That's exactly right.
Are slugs and snails attracted to carrot seedlings the way that they're attracted to other seedlings?
Not really, especially because, the carrots they're quite ferny. Like, I've never seen a snail trying to, like, latch on to the ferns of the carrot. So, no, I think we're pretty safe from the slugs and snails. And, again, being a root crop, they're a little bit hardier for those pests, because even if the pests do a bit of damage to the top, it's not damage to the part of the plant that we are actually wanting to harvest. So I think you're pretty good on the slugs and snails.
Fabulous. Is there anything else that we need to be thinking about in terms of care?
Well, your favourite question, Tess, is do we fertilise them? We will give them a drink of some worm tea or some seaweed fertiliser every month or two. So they don't need a lot of food, and they're not like, you don't need to go out and buy some kind of like carrot fertilizer. Your worm tea or if you don't have a worm farm, your like a seaweed fertilizer will do a wonderful job. But they don't need a lot of post care feed. Like again, if you've got the soil nice when you planted them, they're not heavy feeders post that. So I suppose that's kind of low maintenance, really. Not a lot of pests, not a lot of feeding. Just the, you know, the mulching job's the one that's probably the most involved in the whole maintenance phase.
Okay, now the part that I think scares me the most. Let's talk about harvesting.
It's almost as fun as potatoes. Like it's not. It's not as fun. Nothing will ever be as fun for me as potatoes. But, you know, you can see the shooty uppies, but you've got no idea what's going to be under the soil. So you start pulling it up and, you know, it could be magic under there. And especially when you get mixed, you can get a lot of mixed packets of seed that have different varieties and different colors. And you're like,
oh, that's fun.
I know. Am I going to be pulling out a purple one or a white one or a yellow one? Like so many options. So I actually really enjoy harvesting the carrots. If you've spent the time to get your soil really loose before you plant them, they should actually be quite easy just to pull out. Like just grab the top, the shooty uppy green bit, and just plug it out of the soil, right? It should come. If it doesn't, you want to get like a spade in there or a fork and just loosen around, but you want to be careful you don't stab the actual carrot. This is the same discussion we have with garlic, because if you stab the actual carrot, you know, you're not going to get, it's not going to store particularly well because it's now damaged. So we want to loosen around but avoid the actual fruit. But really it's usually just a pluck job. The thing is, and I said this at the start, they won't be ready until winter. So this is quite a big investment, as you say. The good thing is, though, is that once the weather cools down and once it's winter, those carrots are super happy just hanging out in the soil until you're ready to harvest.
Ah, that's good.
It is really good because unlike the beans that we talked about last week that when the bean is ready, you are picking it. You don't have to think that way about carrots. You can just leave them there for like literally months and then one day you're like, I feel like some roast carrots, I'll go get some. So I find that is a super big advantage of them because the carrots work with your life, not, you know, what you're eating that week working with the carrots. So that's one of the other advantages of growing them in summer is that they'll be ready in winter and then we can kind of take advantage of this natural fridge situation in the soil. If you're in a really cold area, and that would be in Australia, me, Tasmania, in Northern America, there's a lot of really cold areas, you want to add some extra mulch to your carrots in winter to actually protect them from the frost. So if you don't have frosts, and Tess, even in Melbourne, you don't really have frost, you don't have to worry about it. But if you have frost in your area, really load up the carrots with mulch. And that was just like putting a blanket on them for their little winter snooze. The other advantage of the carrots are you can also harvest them as baby carrots if you want. Now, I don't usually do this because then you're going to get a smaller carrot. But if during autumn or the start of winter or whatever, you actually do want a little carrot harvest, sure, you can pull them out and you can eat them as baby carrots. It's not like, you know, something like a bean that isn't particularly nice before it's like fully formed. You know, like a baby carrot is still tender and delicious.
Yeah, it doesn't need to ripen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, yeah, like picking a green peach, like no one wants to eat that. But the baby carrot is delicious as the baby. So I suppose in that sense, the inconvenience of the long harvest is kind of weighted against some of these other benefits.
So apart from the passage of time and it'll be winter, are there any visual cues that a carrot is ready to pull out of the ground?
Yeah, so if you took your mulch and you kind of spread it away from the top of the carrots, you'll still see the shooty uppy. If you spread your mulch, you'll be able to see the top of the carrot, or even if you just kind of move a bit of the soil apart. And by looking at the top of a carrot, like if you looked at a carrot kind of down the barrel and the circumference or the diameter of the top of it, that's going to give you a really good idea of the overall size. So if you're looking down at it and the diameter of this carrot's like, you know, it looks like a ballpoint pen, we're going to say it's not ready to harvest. But if it looks a decent size on that top bit, then we know it's probably a decent size throughout the whole of the carrot. And this is why people so often make the joke about pulling a carrot up and then putting it, wanting to put it back in the ground. Because you can't really tell.
That joke's still not funny.
I'm just going to have to find some gardening memes that make this carrot joke. So, look, you can pull one out, but you cannot put it back in the ground. Mm. So probably just judging from the top down is your best bet there.
So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon. High effort, but not much reward.
So Tess, you went into this episode being a little bit apprehensive about the carrots. I know we'd put it in your plan for your summer veggie patch. Has this discussion kind of put your mind at ease? And where is the old carrot sitting on the squeezy juice metrics?
I am quite torn on this one. And these are all the things that are going through my head. It really does depend on how much you love carrots. And for me, I'm like, meh, they're great. But like, are they my favorite? Probably not. So that's, you know, one personal factor that I've got coming into play here. The space and how long they are in the ground for is another factor that I'm thinking about. But the flip side of that is I have crops that are ready to come out. So I'm going to give it a shot. But am I torn about whether it's a superstar or a wooden spoon? Ooh, I don't know.
Well, this is very unconventional, and this has never been said on this podcast in our fourth season. I'm calling it a wooden spoon. Oh, I'm doing it.
Are you?
I damn.
Talk us through it.
Oh, I think, look, high effort, not so much in the hands-on, but just the real estate they take up for such a long amount of time.
Mm.
And then the reward, I want to compare them to garlic because garlic is similar in its space requirements. It is a bit longer in the ground, but still ages. The thing with garlic, though, is once you've got a head of garlic, that may last you a couple of weeks, right? Because you're only going to use a few cloves every time. With a carrot, like, you know, a family of four could go through 8 carrots in a roast dinner. So I think the reward, given the kind of volume of carrot consumption, is quite low compared to the time in the ground. The other thing that is weighing in as a reward is the fact that they happily hang out in the patch till you need them. I personally find that really beneficial, especially when I've got so much food being produced. I hate it when I have to harvest something and I'm not actually excited about harvesting. I'm just doing it because it needs to be harvested. So, I mean, isn't that goals for you?
Must be nice.
Yeah, exactly. How the other half live with the veggie patch. So, you know, that does win me. But I will say overall, if I had a garden the size of yours, would I grow a carrot? No, unless like now that there wasn't much else that, like if I had the space and I didn't have many other options to get in, maybe I would still. But yeah, I'm going to say wooden spoon.
Controversial on the carrots there. But there we go. A wooden spoon and a not sure sitting on the fence.
Okay, this one we are definitely going to have to take to the people. We're going to put a poll on Instagram because I would really love to know from other gardeners if they would give it a wooden spoon.
Yeah, how have you gone? Have you had any successes? Tell us your stories. Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess, artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at RootingForYouPod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.